Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A text for this morning, the Holy Spirit caused to be recorded, these words that Jesus taught us to pray. Hallowed be thy name. What is in a name? What significance does somebody's name really have? Well, by our names, we are distinguished from each other. We are identified as distinct organizations, families, and as individuals. What we call ourselves and what we call others has always been considered important for us for this very reason. Just look at all the unique names that you hear children running around with these days. We want our names to describe us, not somebody else. When someone hears your name, you want that person to think of you, don't you? But what will come to mind when somebody hears your name? It will certainly not be your unsearchable innermost being. No one can see that. Instead, you have to make a name for yourself. You have to give yourself a reputation. What your name brings to the mind of others is going to be what you look like, things you've said, and things you've done. That's the power of a name. And so these are the things that we focus on if we want our name to be respected. What we say and do determines the value of what people call us and defines for others who we are. Well, it's the same with the name of God. We cannot peer into God's unsearchable innermost being, but instead God reveals himself to us. He does this by teaching us his name. We know him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's who he is. God is three distinct persons in one divine essence. And as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we learn what God does. He is our creator. He is our redeemer. He is our sanctifier. When God teaches us what he does, we learn who God is. Therefore, when we hear the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ought to think always of what God has done for us. In this first petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray to our Father in heaven that he keep his name holy among us. God's name is certainly holy in itself. Our name is not. This is because God is righteous and we are sinners. God's name is good. What God does is good, but what we by nature do is actually evil. By our disobedience to his law, we have separated ourselves from God, who alone is holy and righteous. And he reveals his holiness by teaching us his law, which reveals our unholiness. And by teaching us his name, he reveals that he teaches us, rather, what he has done to address our unholiness. Now, we are the source of our own bad name. Our sin is our fault. What makes us unholy comes from the sinful corruption deep within inside of each one of us, and our sin is so often manifested by outward deeds, words, thoughts. Well, clearly then, it's not up to us to keep God's name holy. Thank God. God makes it holy. He does not make his name holy, though, by attaching it to things that already are holy. That tends to be the way we make our own name good, by associating ourselves with something that's going to make our reputation better. But it's the exact opposite with God. God makes unholy things into holy things, precisely by attaching his own name to them. That's how God works. We have an example of this right here this morning. A gathering of sinners on a Sunday morning is certainly not holy in itself. What makes this congregation holy is the name of God. That's why we usually, with the divine service, open the service with the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, We sort of did that this morning too with the Gloria Patri, where we say, "All glory be to God alone." And then we say, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." That's how we open the service, and that's also how we close the service, with the benediction, the three names of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the same name upon which Christ has placed upon each one of us when he baptized us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This name has made each one of us holy individually and righteous in the sight of God because he gave us his name. And when he does this, he gives us his reputation. That is, he gives us the works that he has done. He gives to us the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ and the eternal life that he earned in our place is ours because we are Christians. The perfect life that Jesus lived, he did by keeping his Father's name holy with every thought he thought, every word he spoke, and every deed he wrought. God attaches his holy name to us in baptism. He gives to us everything. By joining his name to us, because God has joined his name to us, this means that when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we are not just wishing God all the best. We are actually praying for ourselves. We pray that his name may be kept holy among us. Now, we just confessed together a little bit ago that God's name is kept holy in two ways. When his word is taught to us in its truth and purity, and when we as the children of God live holy lives according to it. So in this petition, we pray for two things, for both pure doctrine and pure life. First, let us consider what it means to pray for pure doctrine. Holy Scripture is the only source of divine truth. What we teach and believe as Lutherans is drawn from and judged by the standard of Scripture alone. We can rely on what God teaches us in his word because his word is pure and true and cannot deceive us. Man's word, however, can and usually does deceive us. So we can't rely on what sinners say. That's why it is so important that we do not teach anything in God's name that God does not teach us in Scripture. To do so would be to take his name in vain. It would be confusing God's word with man's word, which is really to confuse God's name with man's name. We pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Now, the central article of the Christian faith as taught to us in Holy Scripture is the doctrine of justification. This is the teaching that we sinners are justified, that is, forgiven of all of our sins, that God says he's not a sinner, he's righteous. He does this by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits and goodness of Christ alone. The doctrine of justification is not just one doctrine among many, albeit a very important one. No, it is the whole point and purpose of God's revelation to us. It is why he taught us his name. It is not possible to err or make any type of mistake on any doctrine in Scripture without also, in some way, teaching contrary about our salvation in Christ. Scripture was written, after all, for our salvation, to save us. And so it is for the sake of our eternal salvation in Christ that we pray for God's name to be kept holy. And this is done by means of his word being kept pure and taught to us in its truth and purity. Let's now consider what it means to pray that we live holy lives according to God's word. We pray that our Christian lives be pleasing to God. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray to God that he produce in us good and pleasing works that glorify him and that serve our neighbor. And he does. He answers that prayer. We pray that our light may shine before men, that they may see our good works and praise our Father who is in heaven. And by God's grace, through us, the light of the gospel shines. We are saved by grace alone. And out of thanksgiving to him who has redeemed us, we desire to do what is pleasing to our God. These are good desires that the Holy Spirit works and accomplishes in each one of us. Always at the same time that he works in us saving faith in Jesus Christ. Christian faith produces fruit. Not because we depend upon the fruit, but because faith that does not produce fruit is just simply not the same faith that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. It would have to be a totally different faith that doesn't produce fruit. It would have to be a false faith. And so we pray for pure doctrine that teaches us the true faith, and we pray for pure life that flows from true faith. It's a common practice, very common practice, however, to separate these two prayers. Many people have the notion that now that we are justified by faith, we must now move on and begin to focus our attention on living a holy life of love. You might have heard this explanation before. God has taught us the gospel, but now we must proceed from doctrine to that second part of hallowing God's name that depends upon what we do. Justification was a one-time event, important, yes, but it's over. Move on. Now we got to focus on a life of sanctification. But that's not what sanctification is. Because that's not what justification is. To divorce these two from each other is nothing more than to confuse the work of man with the work of God. In other words, this is nothing more than to confuse man's name with God's name. We pray, hallowed be thy name. Look at what happens when we shift our focus from the life that Jesus lived for us to the life that we live for Jesus, as though these were two totally different lives. What happens? The name of God is not hallowed, that's for sure. Instead, when we look at our own lives for what keeps God's name holy, what we find instead is our own sin. We find the very unworthiness to call ourselves children of God. We find only our shameful thoughts, words, and deeds, and all the failures of our lives to try to do what pleases him. But we find also the very inability to bring any kind of honor to God's name other than our own bad name. When we try to keep God's name holy by our own obedience to the law, we actually accomplish the exact opposite. Now, we want our names to describe us. That's natural. Not somebody else. Well, we do not make a very good name for ourselves. We don't make a very good name for God if we look at our own works. God's name is not kept holy by our sinful lives. Rather, it is kept holy by the righteous life of Christ. The value of our name as Christians is not determined by what we have done. Thank God that it is determined by what Christ has done for us. Jesus took upon himself our own bad name when he took upon our flesh to live in the likeness of a sinner but without sin. He who only brought honor to God took all of our dishonor and suffered and died in our place. The bad reputation that we made for ourselves, that brought to the mind of God all of our thoughts, words, and deeds that roused his anger against us, God placed on his Son alone, who bore it all away for us forever. And so by joining his name to ours in holy baptism, our name no longer brings to the mind of God our sin and failures, but only the righteousness of Christ who rose from the dead to make a name for himself and for us. That is why we pray, hallowed be thy name. We pray that we may trust in Jesus because it is faith alone in the word of God that keeps God's name holy among us. Now it is true that God works in us new obedience that pleases him. But the good work that God has prepared for us to walk in, these works do not please him because they are so good in themselves. It's actually much better than that. Our works please him because through faith in Christ, we are good. We, our very persons, please him. We don't follow our works to heaven. No, our works follow us. God is pleased with us and everything we do because he no longer looks at any of our sin, not even our sinful nature, because Christ has redeemed. And he forgives all of our sins for Jesus' sake, whose righteousness alone he looks at. As Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 3, our life is hidden with God in Christ. And so it is always to the life of Jesus that our faith flees to in order to keep God's name holy. The focus of faith never shifts from Jesus because he is both the author and the finisher of our faith. We never graduate from justification because this is the life of sanctification. It is the constant return throughout our lives to what Jesus, our Savior, has done to hallow the name of his Father for us and among us. It is this habit of returning to the pure Word of God and his holy sacraments that defines the new life of a Christian, because it is here that God forgives us all our sins and for Jesus' sake declares us holy and righteous and without blemish. Now, when we think of our own individual names, whether John or Jane or Tom or Mary or whatever, we like our names to describe us, what we say, what we do, what we look like, not somebody else. That's natural. But as Christians, we want our name to describe someone else. We want our name to describe Jesus. And it does. That is why we return again and again to where his name is placed upon us. We gather here where we were called holy, each one of us individually and all of us together. Because here, by the forgiveness of all of our sins, the life of Christ is made our own, and the name of our God is hallowed according to our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.